Thank you very much. Please be seated. Well, our theme verse today is, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." And there's the next verse in Galatians 6:10 is, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith." This is a wonderful verse that God has kept showing me, and it's got some great principle that I wanted to share with you today. We have been created in the image of the Almighty God. We have received the very nature of God's life in the seed of Christ in us. We are called and given the authority as overcomers to live in tune with the heart, Father's heart, to bring light and hope to the body of Christ, to our communities, and to the world. If we've got Jesus, and we've got it all. And we've got all that we need for this world to receive the greatness of what God has planned for them. There's no doubt in my mind that our calling before the foundation of the world was designed for us to be in this very moment of time. There's a term used in the book of Esther, such a time as this. And I think we are seeing that such a time as this, as Jeffrey shared, how important we take a stand, that we take action. And the greatest part of the Word of God is hearing the Word, putting on in your heart, and then taking action. If we don't have the action, then we're never going to see the fullness of what God had intended. He gave His only begotten Son, gave all that He had so that we could be Jesus to people today. What a privilege. And that's what the adversaries always wants to do, is take us away from the focus of who you are. We are children of God. We are chosen vessels. We are His masterpiece. When we pray, we need to declare God's word, because it's all about, it's not begging God to perform something in His word. It's declaring what He has done. You know, He told Joshua, be of good courage. Here's a man that had to take over a ministry of Moses. And we're never alone when He gives us those responsibilities. He's always with us. He chose His dwelling in us. The first step in taking a stand is stir up that spirit within us. We have spirit within us. I used to tell my kids when they were in high school, take advantage of that Holy Spirit in you. God will bring to your memory the answers to those questions that you're studying. We have an advantage. Don't ever forget that. We chose. It was our freedom of will. We chose Jesus, and we've got it all. Isn't that just a great song? We love that. And then we pray with passion, relentlessly, joyfully, lovingly, and serving those around us. There's no reason, well, Timothy says, pray for all men and those that are in authority. Look at the Old Testament, how things changed because one man prayed, Daniel. You know, in spite of everything, he was right there. He was told not to pray, and he prayed. And by the end, after God rescued him from the lion's den, Darius said, every person needs to bow to the God of Daniel. Well, we can have that today. We take that stand. We need to pray, 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 pray. We need to live consistent to what we believe. And part of that is, what are we doing with our thoughts? James says, be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. And that's what we are. That's what I want to encourage today. The book of Galatians shares how important the walk of the Spirit is. And the result of the Spirit is that fruit of the Spirit we see in Galatians 5:22. Well, that was all those nine manifestations of the Spirit are the characteristics of Jesus Christ. And who lives in you? Jesus Christ, right? If he were to do a resume, all he needed to do is put those 9 manifestations in there, manifestations of the Spirit. Good morning. We'll start with Galatians 6:9. There's the beginning says, "Be not weary in well doing." We don't use that word too often. Well doing. How's your well doing doing? What is well doing? It's doing good. Well doing. It's about how about doing well. In the Greek, it means excellent, surpassing, useful, admirable, beautiful, genuine, noble, praiseworthy, morally good. We use the term God is good, right? And then what do we say afterwards? All the time, right? God is good. Well, if God is good and we have God in Christ in us, then what do we do? We do good, right? All the time. That's what God's heart is for each one of us. Going to Agape Now, like Bob shared, we have some great experiences. A week ago, there was a gal who came up to us and wanted to know where the train was to go to Oceanside. And so I'm kind of pointing to her, and I go, "Let me just take you." So I walked her over there. And while we were walking, she shared, "Now, I've been abused my whole life. Today I woke up and I decided to believe what God says about me." And she said, "I'm not going to receive that anymore." And I prayed with her. And that was such a joy for me to be a part of that. And how for here, this woman finally decided, "I'm going to take a stand." And that's what we have to do. We have to take a stand to who God has chosen us to be. Another gal was laying on the floor, on the ground near us, on the concrete, and she had her dog there who was protecting her. And I went up to her to give her some water, and she swore at me, so I kind of timidly walked away, left the water. And then she started, "Hey, hey, hey," calling over to me. And so I went over, and she said, "I'm sorry. My defenses are always up." But she says, "I want prayer." And so I started praying for it, and you'd think the Niagara Falls had just broken. She had these big tears just coming down, and it was so wonderful. And she gave her peanut butter sandwich to her puppy. He approved of it. So puppy approved. But you'd never know. And so from then on, she would I would go over and talk to her a little bit. We all, even in this room, we all need that love and attention and just that time to be recognized how important we are. If we've got it all, then we need to share it all, right? There's no purpose in building up everything if you don't put it out there. We never want to be discouraged. It says, "Be not weary in well-doing." There have been, over the years, we've had many people that have come, lived in our home, given them shelter, given them the Word of God, and then kind of had to say, "Well, time to move on." And you'd think that, and didn't get the results we wanted, not much of a change, but yet staying faithful to communicating. They're now, 2 of them are tremendous believers. And we always want to do the things that God leads us to. We don't just, "Okay, here, I'm going to bring someone into my home because they're on the street." We do what God wants us to do. And then we realize that our strength is in Him. So it's very important. But we never want to be weary and well-doing, because in due season we shall reap. Everything that God has is placing seed that will grow. And growth is amazing. It's wonderful for teaching children to teach them sunflower or whatever, put a little seed in water and watch that grow. It's just amazing. We're going to look at slide number 1, Romans 12:2. This is an important part. "Do not be conformed to this world, But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God by changing our thinking to what God has decided. He's given us the mind of Christ. We're a new creation. You know, we've all made mistakes in the flesh, but we have now an opportunity to change, to live out our dream and God's dream. So we prove God's will in our life, so we're always listening to Him. But we have to come with a renewed mind. We don't help people because we feel guilty. We help because God has led us to that time and hour. We don't underestimate the simple ways that we can show love and compassion. We then will be able to obey the will of the Father. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. Slide number two is Galatians 6, 1 and 2. Okay, it says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Well, when I think of bear, I think either this grizzly bear who is taking charge. And sometimes we have to take charge, especially when it comes to healings, because sometimes healings can be from trauma, the problem is there, and people are struggling. When you're not feeling good, it's hard to say, "I'm healed." That's where someone has to come in and take charge and say, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I'm declaring that." Or there's another type of bear where it's just kind of a cuddly bear where you just have that tenderness. You call and say, "Do you know that God loves you? And there's nothing for you to be afraid of." Type of bear, you just encourage. You walk along. You bring them alongside. You go, "Hey, I'm going to go to the mall today just to exercise. Come along with me." Things like that. That's that tenderness that we can have for one another. But there's also a time where we have to stand and hold our ground, help them. And that's part of intercessory prayer, is standing that ground for one another. There's two Greek words, if you want to be technical about it. I'm more of a picture person. But anekomai is one Greek word. It means standing alongside in times of need to strengthen and comfort, to sustain, to bear, or hold up against a thing. A gardener, when you put a tomato plant in the ground, they're going to grow tall, so it needs a support. So you put a support there from the very beginning to help it grow straight. Otherwise, it's going to tilt over, and the weight isn't going to hold the fruit that you're going to bear. That's a great example. And we're going to look at slide 3, Colossians 3, 12 and 13. It says, "Therefore, as the elect of God," who's the elect of God? We're voted on. We are elected. We are elected by God to take charge. How about that? I like that. "Holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering." Verse 13. That was 3 and 4, I think. Bearing one another. I think it's number 4. Okay. The elect of God. Don't forget that. Colossians 3, 12, 13, and 14. Right. "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bearing with one another." Sometimes we have to bear with one another. You don't just point out, "Okay, why were you kind of a jerk today?" That's not the loving thing to do. Sometimes it's time to just ignore. certain things, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also you also must do. Forgiveness is huge in that walk of compassion that we have to bear one another. Above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. And that love is that unconditional love. So we stand alongside. We come alongside a brother or sister who is weighed down. We're saying, I'm staking myself to you. My strength is now your strength. Lean on me, and as long as I stand, you will do. This is a picture of the body of Christ working together. See how important that is? And sometimes we just get into ourselves and don't think about, I have something to give. We do. We have. Our lives were designed to give. The second meaning of the Greek word to bear, is bastazo, and it means to lift or carry away, to remove. And that's Romans 15:1, number 5. As we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. And then this another usage of this is to bear one another's burdens, the same. To take on, to remove. Jesus Christ's intercessory work was not the prayer to be prayed, but the work he did. He fulfilled the will of God. He was the go-between to reconcile us to the Father and to break Satan's dominion. He completed his work and has sat down at the right hand of God. And we're seated next to him. We've been given that authority to do the work that he did, to take on those burdens. Let's look at number 6, is Isaiah 53, 4 through 6. Yes. Isaiah 53, 4, it says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. And the seventh one is verse 5. Okay. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. He took on every sin, sickness, and disease on his body so that we could be free, that we could be healed. We have to declare that. It is past tense. And Peter, it says, we were healed. It's the Word of God. The Word of God is true. Maybe you don't feel like it is today, but it doesn't matter how you feel. God the Almighty has never changed his mind on anything in his Word. We have to declare it. So as Jesus took on all that sin, sickness, and disease, we can help bear some of that. We can teach people that God wants them healed. Some people think, and there's a lot of churches that say, well, you're carrying your cross. There's only one cross that needed to be carried. And in 1 John 3:16, it says, that's number 10, so we'll wait on that. I want to get out of order. But Psalm 103 says that, as far as the east is from the west, he has removed our transgressions from us. He's forgiven us. I don't care if it's a mortal sin or venial sin, whatever it is, any sin, black or white, he's carried that for us, taken it off of us. So we don't have to carry that burden. But as we carry the Word of God for people, they can help them be removed of those burdens, those strongholds in their lives. But we've got to speak it. Okay, number 8. Romans 8:26. Okay. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses or infirmities, for we don't know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And the seventh, ninth one. Now he who searched, verse 27, number 9. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We walk by the Spirit, not by the flesh. So what is our weakness? What to pray for? See, God provided everything, so we don't have to be weak. He provided, I want to pray for your healing, your life, but my flesh is lacking. I don't know. You know, Jesus even asked a blind man, what can I do for you? You know, God wants to give us the information that we need. There may be a trauma, something that's way deep inside of someone that doesn't know why they have liver disease or whatever, that we need to hear from God to be able to bless them, to make that deliverance. We can come softly or we can come boldly as a bear, great bear. There's even mama bear. There's a term, mama bear, today. When moms that stand up for their children's rights. We all need to be that. There's a lot of crazy stuff there. We are on the verge of a turning point, tipping point in our country and world. There is great need, but God, that's the answer. Two words, but God. God is the one we look to for the answers. He's given us his word to declare, but God has the answers. As we join our hearts in believing actions, we will see deliverance. Our fervent prayer will always have an effect. Another area is in giving physically and emotionally to help a believer to get through the times when they're having a difficulty. Spending time, commitment, listening to the Father, sharing your resources will cause change. We have to remember it's God's will we give and serve. We love as God loves us, and it is out of that love that we bear one another's burdens. Remember, you're not alone in giving. Jesus is your burden bearer and will help you help that person. And then my last slide, number 10, 1 John 3:16. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. We also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. We don't lay our lives by going on the cross, but we lay our lives in loving service to one another. And we do it because God is leading us, directing us. Love, acceptance, and the feeling of belonging are some of the strongest desires of man, every man, woman, and child. If we will share God's word, his heart of love, compassion, fervent prayers, we will see revival in this country. We don't put our heads in the sand. We are bold and courageous with spiritual eyes and ears and hearts to serve. God is always looking for our hearts. Proverbs 3, 5 through 10 are probably the wonderful foundation of our spiritual walk, and I'm going to read this with you. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's the first key. And lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Respect the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. That's what our healing comes from, that trusting that God's word will be fulfilled, that he's not a man that he should lie. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase. Honor the Lord with your possessions. Let him be part of your investment in life. That's the greatest investment you can make. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. He wants us to give so that he can provide us with more and more that we can give to others. Sometimes it's just a small thing that someone needs to get over. We are called to such a time as Esther was, a time of change. In Isaiah 6:8, there was a time when Israel was being rebuilt, and God was, the people had really messed up, and God was trying to rebuild the nation. And as Isaiah was listening to the Father, it says in 6:8, it says, "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, or who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me." And I think that's a good call for all of us. Here am I, Lord, send me. I'm ready to serve, to obey you, to listen to your voice, so that your people can be strong, so that we can stand firm against the things of the craziness of this world. So let's stand together, hand in hand, put our shields together, and see great deliverance for God's people and our country and world. So Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have given us the truth, that we look to you in all things, that you have a desire for all your people to be saved and to come into a knowledge of the truth, all men. Everyone has that choice. They want Jesus or not. But there's the power. I thank you for each of our lives and how we touch so many people, and we can touch them even greater with your word and that compassion and giving and whatever you direct us to do. But I thank you for such a privilege it is to be in this day and time and take a stand for you. And I thank you for the speedy return of your son as well. So I pray for our country and the election coming up, and for you just directing people to take a stand, and that your word remains true in our country. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.